This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Meet and then Mnuchin and Meadows come by my office and we talk about what's transpired. I think they have said that there's not a whole lot of movement yet, but a feeling that it seems to have been expressed that we'd like to get an outcome. I certainly hope we can.
We agree that we want to have an agreement. And in that case, we then say, that's our goal. Let's engineer back from there as to what we have to do to get that done.
All right, so it's Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and Mitch McConnell also talking about the $600 a week bonus jobless aid that may kick in and be part of what happens with this stimulus package. That's just one little piece of that. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope that you are safe and sound wherever you are in whatever nook, crevice, cranny, or perhaps you're vacationing in the Smoky Mountains with your family. I know a lot of people that have done that. They've headed for the hills, as I say, whether it's in an RV or, as my sister-in-law would say, a grocery getter, whatever it is, but they can social distance and they can see a different point of view. And I guess that's good because points of view, when you talk about Pelosi and McConnell and Schumer, those three agree on very little, obviously. And Republicans have really pushed back on extending the enhanced jobless benefits, fearing that it would be a disincentive for people to want to go to work, because why would they go to work if they're making more money, which is the case for some people when they argue about the state benefits and what they get and how much that is and all that, and it just becomes this loop. It's a loop where you go round and round in the circle, and where it's going to stop, nobody knows, but apparently there has been a little bit of movement, so perhaps this stimulus ultimately gets cleared maybe a little faster, because there are definitely some people that are in the opposite situation of that, where it isn't about, hey, I'm going to take the dime of the government and I'm just not going to work because it doesn't make any sense. And I know there are those that do that because they're making more money, but there are also people in dire, dire straits in this country. If you saw the homelessness in some of the areas that have jumped up, it would be shocking. And those people that find themselves in that situation, shocking as well, too embarrassed to ask for help, but yet struggling and trying to find a way to survive and feed their family and get by somehow. Because as we wait and we wait with bated breath about this vaccine, realistically, we know, even if there is a vaccine, who comes first, how does it all roll out? Most likely, if we are lucky, let's say, into 2021, things would open up a little bit more, and maybe that would be in the spring. I mean, who knows? We don't know for sure as we watch what schools are trying to do with kids, most of them reversing course, at least in some districts and in some states, as to having kids go back to school, jump on the bus, etc., and instead now staggering that, pushing that back, and having many of them still do the online thing, just weighing and weighing all of that in between. All right, because of COVID, we know that traditions keep falling by the wayside, including, this is a aww, the ladies who kicked their legs up. If I were to ask you who is that, they're very famous out of New York City. Rockettes. They always do that Christmas spectacular. And people watch, were fascinated by the Rockettes. They're not going to do their annual Christmas spectacular at Radio City Music Hall because of course, the coronavirus pandemic. Look, Broadway is dark. Other things have shut down. This is a big production, so the production cannot go on for fear of the possibility of what would happen to people getting too close and then not having an audience, kind of why bother? So they're shutting their doors this year on that possibility, but hoping that things will get back to a more normal state in the following year, so that would mean the following Christmas. Hard to believe because we're in August, and look at, we're less than 100 days from electing, either re-electing this president or electing another president, presumably Joe Biden, who is the presumptive Democratic nominee, where all eyes are on VP, who is that VP candidate going to be? All right, coming up this hour, the things that we are weighing include, I'll throw in a little man cave because we're seeing sort of a calm in some sports that have come back and an alarm in others, mostly Major League Baseball. There's still big worries over Major League Baseball. How about the tropical storm all the way up the East Coast slamming into New Jersey, causing problems with power and turning over a lot of cars in one of my friend's neighborhoods? And then also what's happening with you in the mailbag, because you have flooded me with emails about all sorts of things I don't think I was really looking at, including entertainment. And what can you do? I've had more questions about what can you do when you feel stuck? What other things can you do to entertain the family? So I'm putting on my entertainment cap, and I've come up with my top 10 list of things you can continue to do during the pandemic to entertain you if you're a solo flyer, or if you have a family. What is it that you can reach for that will stimulate you while you wait for the world to change a little bit and just change with it? It's like what I say when I'm speaking. It is about refocusing, reimagining, and rebooting what we do. And this is why when we look at the government and we look at this deal on the stimulus package and the way it's being reworked and the mindset of what do we need to do and what does each side want in stimulus funding that can actually get passed through, and how desperately do the people need help? We'll just look at the unemployment numbers and then, of course, also look at what's happening from community to community, and that tells a better story. Not a good story when it comes to the death toll in the United States. 159,000 people have died so far from COVID-19. That's out of 4.85 million confirmed cases. I like to see the recovery number be much higher, but it's at 2.37 million. I know there are people listening beyond our borders. Thanks to all the people listening in the UK in the wee hours, and in Australia where it's in the morning, and some of you I know are drinking your tea, like Bob and like Jane, who listens to us in Melbourne and sent me a super nice email that we'll get to a little bit later. But 692 deaths worldwide, 11 million recovered, 18.4 million confirmed cases. Big story from Beirut. We're going to talk about that. An explosion. Looks like it was an attack. The U.S. military thinks the explosion seems to have been some kind of a bomb and not an accident. And, of course, locally, they're investigating what that was. 60 people were killed. Thousands were wounded terrible in this explosion that caused widespread damage in the Lebanese capital. The president said he'd been briefed by the generals. They seemed to feel that the explosion was, again, not an accident. So what about this blast followed by a fire that exploded throughout the city's port area? And the videos coming out of there really, really were horrific. Hang with us. What happened with the strong winds to whip through New Jersey that caused so many problems?
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Children's book called Moon Magic Book, and I have a fascination with the moon. She does too, and you'll hear all about that coming up a little bit later on. But right now, of course, we're all in this world in the middle of the coronavirus and the pandemic, and Sandra is, as she says, out in the forest in Australia. So in your part of Australia where you are, what's it like?
I'm probably an hour and a bit out of Melbourne, and unfortunately there has been a second wave in Melbourne. Up until now, Australia's done fairly well, considering America and Italy and the UK and other places. We have managed to keep a bit of a lid on it, and so we haven't had that overwhelming, you know, hospitalisation responses that they've had everywhere else. But unfortunately, being winter, and humans being human, we probably don't always do the right thing by social distancing and everything we're supposed to do. There's a second wave happening at the moment. But I think over the last few days, that seems to be stabilising a little bit. So but we've still got the winter, another winter month where people are going to be more indoors and have to be a bit more careful. They are starting to enforce wearing of masks, certain parts where the pandemic's a bit prominent at the moment. But where I am, I work in health, I'm nursing background, so I work in Ballarat, and I think there's only a few cases there, not many. So I think we dodged a bullet so far, comparing ourselves with the rest of the world. There's some states that don't have any in Australia. They've been fairly fortunate, I think. But here in Melbourne, it tends to be a little bit colder, more indoors, which unfortunately that's how infection spreads. So it's really just taking it from week to week at the moment, and, you know, a few more weeks of lockdown and everyone just needs to be a little bit careful, take precautions. Obviously, if you're a little bit compromised, you just need to keep yourself away from everywhere else at the moment, but it's certainly strange times. I mean, people compare it with the war, but at least in war you can still hope people, you can still support. But this is different because we still have food on the shelves. It's not really quite that bad. My only concern is that we're not losing our humanity in amongst all of this, but I suppose when a vaccine's available or some sort of treatment, life will get back to normality.
Yeah, hopefully. Well said. Hopefully, that's what we hope for. Sandra, thanks for that, and we will talk to you later in the show.
All right, so interesting in talking to Sandra, because as she said, losing our humanity, she hopes that we aren't. And boy, what a great question that is. We could fill up five shows with that question, and many of you have sent concerns about that with some of the things that you're seeing in your neighborhoods or outside of your neighborhoods, and the tensions, et cetera, because of the pandemic and people. I think there's something with a Rona malfunctioning with all of us when we get super, you know, feeling trapped or whatever it is. I think some of the reactions to what has happened, that's where it bubbles over for people. And speaking of bubbling over, Isaias, the tropical storm, clobbered New Jersey all day long. Kind of near where I grew up that I've talked about before, especially the Jersey Shore, 109-mile-an-hour winds. Two tornadoes formed in a couple of different places, Barnegat Township and Upper Township in Wildwood. My family used to spend the month of August in Wildwood Crest. In Wildwood, the Brittany Hotel, it's been there for a while, and a bunch of other businesses lost their roofs, just poof, ripped off like that, and all kinds of things happened. Cars flipped over, power lost all over the place, not just in those shore areas, but up and down New Jersey. They saw just crazy damage, and the tornadoes where trees were just ripped and uprooted in Trenton, New Jersey, for example, which of course is the capital there, and the damage that ripped through some people's homes, and where it was trees and roofs and doors, and wow, I don't think that I've seen that kind of damage before, but I don't know that I've ever seen that kind of damage in New Jersey. And by the way, it wasn't just New Jersey, because it went all the way up the coast. I mean, it dwindled by the time it reached Canada, but five people died as it went all the way up the East Coast and then exited out of Canada eventually. But very sad, you know, what happened to a couple of different people. One was an 83-year-old woman in Delaware who was found about noon. She was under a large branch in a pond near her home, untimely, where she had happened to be sitting. And then a couple of other of the deaths had to do with trees falling on cars, and another where a tornado smashed into a mobile home park in Windsor, North Carolina, because it hit North Carolina pretty badly too as well. So, and it was the tornadoes that were spawned. So there were reports of something like 30 tornadoes, and just grinded all the way through the New England states, and then, like I said, headed across the border, and then exited out of there. By the time it had hit Rhode Island and parts of Massachusetts and New Hampshire, it was, you know, 40, 50 mile an hour winds, not like what had happened in Philadelphia and New Jersey, where you were looking at, you know, 109 miles an hour. At some point you were seeing that, which is incredible, and especially the tornadoes. Isaias is not what they expected with the Cat 1 when it first opened up in North Carolina and then got downgraded. So there were really people that I don't know that they were expecting what they got, especially in Pennsylvania, in parts of Pennsylvania, parts of New Jersey, and then the way it made its path, cut its path up to New England, as I had described it. So you had boats that were piled on top of each other that were a mess at marinas. You had some fires that resulted because of some of the downed trees and power lines and, you know, all that stuff. I guess even at one point, the National Weather Service said that at LaGuardia Airport, they had a gust of about 70 mile an hour winds for a while on Tuesday. And so they even had installed some temporary barriers to prevent flooding in lower Manhattan, which that's they didn't really get it there. It was some of those surrounding areas. So very, very big. Thank goodness that one has exited. And I think in some cases, just not what they expected, especially even though the path was clear, it was going that direction, not what they expected to see, I think, happen in some of those eastern areas. The explosions that I briefly mentioned about what happened in Beirut and the destruction, and you know, now they're still saying there could be so many more casualties than they know. They're saying thousands of casualties. The video coming out of there is just absolutely horrific. You know, in the time of the coronavirus and with it surging in so many other areas, not just in parts of the United States with the quarantine that's happening, and what could happen with the second wave, and as we all wait out this whole vaccine thing, which, by the way, we're in this together when it comes to a global scenario, there's no question about that. Then you have Isaias, and on top of that, then, of course, this horrible thing in Beirut, where you can clearly see the people where the blast, they say, had the force of a 3.5 magnitude earthquake. So think about that and how people could hear it and they could feel it all the way from, you know, all the way from Beirut to Cyprus, which is about 180 miles or so, give or take. Mathematically, I was looking at a map. I'm thinking it's about 180 is what I would peg it at, which is incredible that they could feel that. And it looked like that there was some kind of ammonium nitrate in the port that had detonated. So this country already, that country already struggling with the coronavirus pandemic and severe economic problems there. I mean, severe, severe. And of course, the financial crisis. And hours after the explosion, the just more problems, ambulances rushing around the country trying to, you know, carry away as many people as they could get into ambulances and get them as quickly away as possible because you had windows, doors blown out. That's why you had so many of those injuries. And, of course, the shattered buildings that fell right on top of people. So pretty shocking. And, again, it shows you the fragility of human life, right? It shows you just how fragile it is. And then especially when you've got some kind of terrorist activity, and they don't know for sure what it is, but there's been tension between Israel and the Hezbollah military group on the Lebanon side of the southern border, and they heard planes, people were saying, just before the blast, so then they're thinking maybe it was something else that was going on. Jake in Austin says, how troubled are Americans? Let's talk about it.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Officials are surveying the damage in North Carolina when then Hurricane Isaias made landfall. It smashed boats and downed trees and power lines there, killing at least 2 people. Governor Roy Cooper.
Damaging winds and likely tornadoes spun out from the storm, including one in Berkey County that tragically killed 2 people and sent about a dozen others to the hospital.
A total of 5 deaths are blamed on the storm. Millions of people are still without power. There was a powerful explosion in Beirut, Lebanon. At least 78 people were killed. President Trump said it appeared to be a bomb.
Our prayers go out to all the victims and their families. The United States stands ready to assist Lebanon. A very good relationship with the people of Lebanon, and we will be there to help. It looks like a terrible attack.
This is USA Radio News. Democrats in the White House are discussing a coronavirus relief bill. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is part of the Democratic negotiating team. He says he and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi are standing firm on what he calls a big, bold response.
A skinny bill that just touches on one or two of the many problems. A bill that says if we have 1 million starving kids who aren't getting fed, we should compromise and feed half of them. That doesn't work.
The Senate's top Republican, Senator Mitch McConnell, says his caucus, although fragmented, is not likely to support a bloated package. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves is taking action to counter a recent uptick in coronavirus cases. He's delaying the start of school for some students in counties that are hard hit. He's also ordering people to wear masks.
If you wear a mask, if you socially distance, if we do the little things, it will make a difference. And therefore, I am implementing a statewide mask mandate today.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, we are in the mailroom. And once again, flooded by everything that you've sent. Remember, you can always shoot me your thoughts 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And COVID-19, of course, still on many of your minds. But I start with Jake, who I said he said Americans are troubled, and he was worried about it. He was referring to, when he says Americans are troubled, there's a new Gallup poll that came out, and you know I'm the poll princess, right? We talk about polls, and why do you read the tea leaves, and especially Gallup, they've made a fortune on this kind of stuff, looking for predictive markers and whatnot. I've even talked with lots of different Gallup people on how to look at their information and how they get it. So some of what Gallup comes up with, I think, is fascinating. But here's what the latest poll shows. The American satisfaction with the way things are going in the U.S., would you be shocked to learn they're not happy? It just keeps tumbling down. And I think that's what Jake means. It's a downward trend since the beginning of the novel coronavirus pandemic. Think of where you were when it all changed for you. What were you doing in the beginning of March before you stopped doing it? And there had to be something. I mean, there's very few people whose lives had not changed in any way, hardly any that I can think of. In fact, none off the top of my head, and certainly no one I know, and I know in this audience, you've shared with me successes and struggles and how you've gotten through everything. So 13% of U.S. adults are satisfied with the state of the nation, according to that Gallup poll. That's down 7 percentage points in the past month and 32 points since reached a 15-year high in February. Satisfaction hasn't been this low since 2011, November of 2011. And of course, it's the economy. It's this crisis. It's all of that. And, you know, if you look at other low points, guess when they were? When the stock market tanked in 2008, in October of 2008, the Great Recession. And then in 2011, there were massive struggles, too, after Standard & Poor's downgrading the U.S. credit rating and the federal government struggling to contain the U.S. debt. So that's where we're at with that, as far as the satisfaction level. And we could break it down even further than that by politics if we wanted to, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats. But overall, bottom line, Americans have rarely been less satisfied with the state of the nation than they are now. And a lot of that has to do with what's in their wallet. Of course it does. Speaking of that, I got this one from, thanks for that, Jake. Got this one from Walter, who says, boy, I don't know if you've noticed or not, Kate, and have done any kind of an Excel sheet or analysis on this, but I'm kind of a geek like that. I'm a numbers guy. You know it. I'm a CPA. And I went through and looked at how many times we were eating out before the pandemic and compared it to what groceries were costing us. And I have to say, in the beginning of this, it was pretty decent, but now groceries are starting to shoot up, and it kind of makes sense, I guess, because more people are eating in, and also depending on, I guess, what you're getting. I'm not thinking of that when I'm grumbling and rumbling around with my honey-do list and picking up whatever it is that I have to get for the family. But overall, on eating out, we certainly have saved some money. What do you think that uptick has been like? Well, you know how you can tell, and I've said this before, if you look at what the grocery stores are making compared to where they would normally be, it of course has shot up tremendously. And what happens is people cut back on food budgets. I mean, that's one of the first things that people do. What's your strategy for coping with it when you have limited resources? But when you say that more than one in six adults were food insecure in May, and that's according to an analysis by the Urban Institute, one in six, that's frightening. And, of course, the gap was altered because of the $600 employment benefit that really, really helped a lot of people. And food insecurity casts a very deep and wide shadow. It absolutely does. And poverty hurts unemployment. And, you know, over the past few weeks, people were concerned about the $600 benefit expiring. And even the North Texas Food Bank said they saw an uptick in families served by the emergency pantry because they think people are preparing for what could be coming, knowing that, oh, okay, so I had the extra money, I could get the things I need, but now if this goes away, I got to stock up if I can, so I've got to go to this food pantry and try to get some of these staples. You know, either way, the cars are filled, the parking lots waiting to go to those drive-through pantries. I mean, from the beginning of March through the end of June, you saw food banks across the country giving out more than 1.9 billion meals, to people who definitely had some moods because they were so concerned. And that was Feeding America who came up with that stat. That's huge. 20% more food than in an average month. Whew. If you're not in that situation, thank your lucky stars. There's no doubt about that. All right, how about this one? This one is from Ralph, who says, Kate, you've been talking about my city, Portland, and I read a piece somewhere, I think it was in Yahoo, that we were called the whiniest, whitest big city. I don't know if whiniest is accurate or if I even am accurately saying that, but people are looking at us as, why are we the hub for any kind of a showdown with Black Lives Matters? And I can tell you, that we have people that are trying to support a movement that is a long time overdue and trying to understand mistakes that have been made in the past. And frankly, I don't think that that's just people who are democratically minded. I think that some of that is also Republican folks in Portland. Portland is a much different place, I believe, than other parts of the country. And I think it was smart to get the feds out, because there was some things that happened in the beginning that just were intolerable. And I think the problem is when things explode, trying to discover or uncover who the troublemakers are or who the plants are or who are the people that are purposely doing what they're doing is pretty tough. And you ultimately end up ruffling the feathers of people who shouldn't be handcuffed or taken away, and it's really somebody else. Yeah, I think what you're trying to talk about is, it's, I didn't see whiniest, by the way, if you're listening to us in Portland. Have some of the wine. You have those great wineries. No, sometimes people say it's the whitest big city, because 70% of the population is non-Latino. Portland has become, it has become that, like, sort of center core place when you look at, you know, if when you look at the rallying cry of the city, only 6% of the population is black, 10% is Latino, 8 is some kind of Asian ancestry variations, of course, and then the rest is white. And, you know, this is a city that has a reputation as sort of easygoing. Public transportation is easy, mild weather, great schools, politics that are progressive and yet support other elements, and an urban space for people who love the outdoors. And now they're smack dab in the middle of what's happening, and especially when it came to some of the dance around the courthouse and the police wall, and then the fighting back, and wow. When I think of where it's super tough, though, I think of Chicago. And I think that mayor, Lightfoot, is doing everything she can to have the police work with the feds, and that seems to have been have gone a lot smoother for some reason. But there's still massive problems. I mean, every Monday coming out of a weekend, we see how many more people have lost their lives. Now, I got this one from Sam, who throws me a curveball and says, did you see the story about the roosters in that cockfighting ring, apparently, in California? What'd you think of that? Well, I didn't even know about it until I read your email, so I didn't have an opinion. But they did recover, they said, somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000, and it was someplace outside of Los Angeles County, and they had different, they said they were in different kinds of health, the roosters that they found. And this is a cockfighting ring. That's what they, this, it must have been huge, because that's what they uncovered. So you can't do that. I mean, that's against the law there. So that's animal cruelty. And you had also several hundred livestock, I guess, that were plucked from there, too. The sheriff's department showed up, and they had roosters and dogs in cages. Some terrible, terrible things. And, of course, people don't realize this, but cockfighting is one of the oldest games around, but usually very, very underground, and something like over 6,000 plus years. I think I saw that when I was looking something up, but yeah. So this is a major bust. It's interesting that you asked me if I heard about that, and then you alerted me to that fact, because I was shocked at the number too. I thought the numbers of roosters, so I thought that's got to be wrong, but lo and behold, it's not wrong. If you have that many, you got to have a bunch of games going, and you got to be making some money on it. That's all that I can think. I mean, it's got to be that. All right, what's the situation on the ground with ISIS now that it's left? Has the damage been picked up? And how about those lost lives? Stay with us.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, indeed. Isaiah and the damage that I've talked about. Here we are at the end of this hour, so appropriate that we hit the heads, as I say, meaning some of the big things that are shaking around the planet that people are talking about. And people are talking about mostly Beirut, if you want to look at horrific photos and videos of what they're trying to figure out happened there. Dozens of people dead after that explosion smashed into that city. I mean, they're saying 3,000 people are injured. The head of general security there said the explosions happened after a warehouse holding some highly explosive materials caught fire. So it might not be terrorism, but there are some that think that it could be. And at this point, they haven't ruled anything out, but they do know that that did happen there. So it may not be the nefarious kind of activity. Certainly when you look at tropical storms that could turn into hurricanes that end up being a Cat 1 and then leave the United States and head through Canada, but just a swath of damage like nobody's business. Incredible what this storm did. And it's not that it wasn't being tracked. It's not that it wasn't being talked about. It's not that people didn't realize that this was a possibility. I think that there was this sense if it hits the Carolinas and then it starts to take that path and it goes up north, that yes, there could be some damage, that we could see some things happen, obviously, but not thinking that they were going to bear the brunt of it. And that's just the thing. You never know with these storms what's going to happen and where they're going to veer. And unfortunately for some people, they veered in the direction of, you know, their neighborhood. You had 3.7 million without power. So luckily it dipped and left, but it definitely left a wake of destruction in its path. And I mentioned Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, New York City. Trees toppled all over the place, and tornadoes in Virginia, tornadoes in some of those places that I already mentioned. New Jersey was insane how New Jersey got hit. And there are still tropical storm warnings in place as an aftermath kind of thing that happened with this, you know, tropical storm that was once Hurricane Isaias. But by the time it hit in the United States, it had been downgraded. But don't tell that to any of the people that got their power cut, basically. 3.7 million. Whew. 3.7 million. The storm's center was about 45 miles southeast of Montreal when it went north into Canada. And, of course, in the mid-Atlantic area, you had some major river flooding. That was tough for a lot of people to deal with that. You had in Atlantic City, you had the rail service that had to be delayed because you had downed trees. You had flooding. Things were blocked. The New Jersey Turnpike was a mess in some areas, the Garden State Parkway. The governor there, Phil Murphy, who just a couple of days ago called the people, some of the people in New Jersey, knuckleheads because they had gathered for a huge party despite the surge of cases in New Jersey with COVID-19. So now a state of emergency having nothing to do with that, but having to do with this tropical storm. And the tornadoes and the unexpectedness, I think. The Schuylkill River, the flooding in Philadelphia in the surrounding area. Schuylkill River was projected to crest about 15.4 feet higher early on Wednesday. Its highest level in more than 150 years. And the river already surged over its banks in some areas on Tuesday night. So they certainly saw that. And people in cars, a couple of them got swept away. That was one of the deaths. A 44-year-old woman was killed after the water swept her car downstream in Allentown. And people were searching for someone who fell into a swollen creek west of Philadelphia in Delaware County. In Doylestown, you had a couple people that were treated for minor injuries. You had the roof torn off a daycare center, and about 135 kids and a teacher had to come out of that daycare center. And of course, you had flights that were down, not that there were massive amounts of passengers necessarily, but you had flights that were down as a result of that. And the tornadoes were the thing that were really, really tricky for so many people. All right, let's talk about Beirut, because we know we're dealing with COVID. We know the numbers were high. I talked about that, talked about some of the hot spots, talked about the stimulus, and now there may be a coming together of the Senate and the House and the Republicans and Democrats. Will see. It looks like maybe that 600 sticks around for a while. But the explosions that hit Beirut, if you just were to see the pictures, I know exactly what you would think. I mean, it looks like ghosts walking around in the aftermath of this. I mean, there was a couple of blasts. So there was one huge, shocking, massive blast in the early evening, then two boom boom right after that, and it kind of pushed into the sky, from what I could see, sort of this mushroomy kind of cloud of pink and yellow smoke over the city. Pretty scary to look at that. And hospitals were overwhelmed by the amount of people that were being brought in. And again, remember, they're still dealing with the pandemic, so what you have to do with people coming in. And people are still searching. They're scouring the deserted streets and the port and calling out for people who might be trapped or injured because of the conditions of the buildings and trying to, you know, find them. So it's mysterious. It was at a Shiite militia weapons storage site in Iraq last year that we were talking about. What was that about? And the sensitivity of it. So we do know that there's mounting tensions, obviously, in the area. But was this some kind of a callback, a warning? I'm not sure. But it looks like something you wouldn't want to wish on anybody. It's just a huge national tragedy. And, boy, tough to see these. It's tough to see the videos, really, honestly. I mean, just tragedy, catastrophic. And is there any accountability to this if it is something nefarious, although it looks like it might not be? It just might be a terrible, tragic accident. Because, you know, what they're linking it to is those explosions, the 2,700 tons of a dangerous chemical that was stored at the port since 2014. Now, here's the thing. This is where it gets tricky. There was warnings from port officials that this material is not safe. It's not safe. So you look at how exposed everybody coming in and out of there was. But they were told it's not safe, it's not safe. And they ignored it. And this quite simply could be what that is. The U.S. Embassy issued a warning to U.S. citizens saying, you know, there's toxic gases released in this explosion, so stay indoors, wear masks if possible. Doors were blown open and windows were rattled at the U.S. Embassy because it was about 6 miles away. And same thing with the Beirut airport, windows blown out, check-in counters damaged. And a list, and then that's mild compared to some of what happened there. Really, really tricky. All right, ending on an up note for investor types. When people talk about investing, of course, I think it's all about diversifying. I am not a financial expert, but certainly have tried to school myself in what I can, and we've had plenty of financial experts on this show with different styles and different approaches, but almost all of them agree on diversification. Interesting times for gold, because we've seen now that gold has ratcheted up to 2,000 an ounce. Wow. I mean, this is something we haven't seen in a long time, but we are in the pandemic. So it's gold prices midday Tuesday were above an intraday record of, you know, over $2,000, hitting these really crazy, crazy highs. And I looked up, what is the highest price of gold in history? And you'd have to go to over that 1900 mark in the past, and now much, much higher when you look at the 2000, and it could climb even higher than that. Yep, they say there's gold in them there hills. Maybe you have some hidden away. Good for you if you do, and that's part of your portfolio. Either way, I hope you are surviving and thriving and making it work for you. Remember, we're all in this together. Thanks so much for listening. Big shout out to Alec for his fine work on the technicals and Mo Flam. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.